Welcome to Basic Brewing Radio for Thursday, April 26th, 2007. I'm James Spencer. Here at Basic Brewing Radio, we're all about home brewing. Well, this week, Andy Sparks and I go through your responses about brewing applications. What computer programs do you use to help you with your brewing process? Also, Andy gives us a report about the recent Strong Ale Festival in Boulder. Well, if you're new to home brewing or would like to get into the hobby for the first time, check out our website, basicbrewing.com, where you can find archives of our audio and video podcasts and our DVDs to walk you through basic and more advanced brewing techniques. Now, don't forget about the American Home Brewers Association's 10th annual Big Brew Day coming up on May 5th. You can see details about the event, as well as three recipes that they're suggesting to brew on that big day on beertown.org. A couple questions about bottling this week in the virtual email bag. John in Madison Heights, Michigan writes, "We are about to bottle an Irish stout, and we're wondering how much room should be left in a 12-ounce bottle in order to keep bottle bombs from happening. Other brews, we would fill the bottle almost to the top with the filler in the bottle, then pull out the filler and would leave about an inch of air. We haven't had any problems so far, but I'm concerned that the stout may be more active than the other ales we've been producing. Should we give it more room in the bottle?" Well, John, no. It sounds like you're doing a good job, and you should continue doing that with your stout. All styles should have about the same amount of headspace, or all styles should have the same amount of headspace, really. Just take a look at the beers in the store. They're all filled to the same level, regardless of style or whether they're bottle conditioned or not. If your fermentation is complete and you've reached terminal gravity, then your stout shouldn't be any more active in the bottle than any of your other beers. Any activity after bottling depends on how much priming sugar you add to the beer before bottling. So some styles favor more carbonation than others, so there is a slight variation in the amount of priming sugar. But overall, the main fermentation should be complete before you prime and bottle, so the activity shouldn't be enough to cause you any worry. Very important to make sure your fermentation is complete before you bottle to avoid overcarbonation and the danger of bursting bottles from that overcarbonation and too much pressure in the bottle. John from Waterboro, Maine writes, "I brewed a Braggot about 2 months ago and will be bottling in about another month. I had a starting gravity of 1120, that's 1.120, and when I racked to the secondary, the gravity was around 1028. John says, "I also pitched some champagne yeast just to be safe. I'm wondering if I should bottle with yeast since it is a high gravity beer, or if dry malt extract would work just fine." Now, John, since you're carbonating this mead, you don't have to carbonate meads, but since you're carbonating this mead, if I were you, I would repitch some fresh yeast. High gravity meads and beers are a lot of work for the yeast to ferment, and even champagne yeast, which is a higher alcohol yeast strain. And all that alcohol is fairly poisonous to the yeast. So I'd pitch some new yeast at bottling time with you, with your dry malt extract or other priming sugar, whatever you use, to make sure you get good carbonation. It doesn't even have to be the same strain of yeast at that point. In my experience, you might be okay without it, but it would take a longer time. And, of course, with mead, you learn to be patient after a while. But anyway, yeah, since it's such a big beer and the yeast is probably tired from fermenting all that sugar, I'd put some more fresh yeast in there. Mike from Wisconsin says, "Perfect pronunciation of the city Waukesha, Wisconsin, in last week's podcast. Ready for a tougher one? I live in Oconomowoc." How's that, Mike? Oconomowoc. I have to admit, I cheated on that one. I called the Oconomowoc Chamber of Commerce, and I practiced. So if I pronounce it wrong, it's the fault of the nice lady at the Oconomowoc Chamber of Commerce. Mike from Boston writes from the other side of the fence from what we've traditionally heard about better bottles. He says, I'd like to respond to the recommendation for the use of better bottle carboys. James says, my first carboy was a better bottle because I had the fear of using glass. Although the better bottles have some great advantages, such as their weight and large neck opening, there is one major downside that may not have been considered. The better bottles are plastic. This poses a problem when it comes to moving the carboys or taking on or off a wet T-shirt. People use a wet T-shirt to keep their carboys cool. Because, James says, if the carboy is at all disturbed, it is very prone to creating a vacuum and sucking your water from your airlock into your carboy. James says, I try to minimize the use of my better bottle carboy. Well, I never thought of that, but I guess if you squeeze the sides, it may suck in some air and some airlock water with it, which might cause some concern among some brewers about contamination. But there are a couple of solutions. First of all, you could use vodka or pure grain alcohol in your airlock. And that way, if some of it gets sucked in, it's not going to carry any bugs with it. Or you can see if there's a level of water in the airlock that won't get sucked back in if a reversal pressure happens. That's what I do with my airlocks is I put just enough water in there so that it works, but not enough so that if the air goes backwards, which sometimes happens when the wort is cooling, if the wort is warmer than room temperature when you pitch, sometimes the air gets sucked back. So you could just play with the water levels in your airlock. So I appreciate, though, hearing from the other side of the issue there, James. Now, since we've got lots more email in the next section of the show, the main meat of the show, let's move on. Thanks to everybody who's written in. Always love to hear from everybody. And a big thanks to everybody who wrote in with comments about brewing software. I recently sat down with Andy Sparks at his house, not too far from his kegerator, to go over your input and his recollections from the Boulder Strong Ale Festival. Well, Andy Sparks, welcome again to Basic Brewing Radio.
Oh, glad to be here, James.
I'm at your house this time. This is the first time we've had your house as the location for the show.
Well, we did a video podcast here, but for the radio side, that's for sure. We haven't been here before.
And what are you drinking?
I'm drinking some more Hog, my Avery Hog Heaven, right off the keg in my garage.
And I have to confess that I am too. So, you just returned not too long ago from Boulder, Colorado. Tell us what you were doing out there.
Well, James, last weekend I had the privilege of going out to the Boulder Strong Ale Festival. This was the fifth annual Boulder Strong Ale Festival. It's put on by Avery Brewing Company. And it's a charity event for the Habitat for Humanity in Boulder and also the Humane Society in Boulder. And I must say, I've been to a few beer festivals in my life.
This is one of them.
It was an incredible. It was easily the best beer festival I've ever been to. Every beer at this festival was a star. There are just so many good beers. It's hard to count them all.
No beer less than 8%.
That's right. I mean, it is a strong ale festival. I think it's patterned after the one out in San Diego that was started by Stone. But yeah, no beers less than 8%. All these beers are big, heavy beers, big beers. But yeah, from all over the country, all the great brewers in America right now sent beers to this festival.
And what were the standouts?
Let's see. The Pizza Port Hops on Rye was probably my favorite, although I'm a big fan of the Avery Maharaja, and they had a cask version of the Maharaja that it was really incredible. Super hoppy, super bright, just the classic American double IPA with super hop aroma and flavor.
And you talked about it kind of a cooperative effort between, I don't know if it was a cooperative effort between the two breweries or the two establishments, but something between New Belgium and Redstone Meadery.
That's right.
To me, would have been worth the price of admission.
When I tasted that beverage, I should call it a beverage, When I tasted that at the festival, I couldn't help but think of you because you're such a big fan of La Folie. And it was probably the talk of the festival.
What was it? It was a blending of La Folie.
It was a blending of two beverages. It was a blending of La Folie, the oak-aged sour beer from New Belgium, and Redstone's black raspberry nectar. And their nectar is a fizzy version of their mead. It's only about 8%. And when they were blended together, they complemented each other so incredibly well.
Mm.
A nice little fruitiness with a little sour tinge. I've had La Folie recently, and it's intensely sour. It's an acquired taste. But this was just it balanced so well. It was just a delicious drink. And like I said, it was the talk of the festival. I talked to David Myers, the head brewer at Redstone, and complimented him on the fact that out of all these giant beers from all over the country, his mead was one of the standouts at this event.
David Myers, chairman of the mead
of
Redstone Meadery. Well, I'm jealous, and you invited me to come along with you, and I just, you know, for domestic reasons, I can only do, you know, so many beer trips a year, and so I can't. Maybe next year I'll choose this to be.
Well, James, I'll start right now. James, let's go to the beer festival next year together. Next spring, the 6th annual Strong Ale Festival. We're going.
if we can find some more brewery tours around there, then you know, then I'll have a better excuse to go. So,
well, in Boulder area and in Colorado, you have an almost unlimited supply of breweries to go tour. It's a beautiful place.
We will make an excuse. Make an excuse to go. So, any more takeaways that you want to mention about the Strong Ale?
Yeah, there's a couple others that were really standouts. There was one from Bull and Bush. There was something called Royal Oil that was really a delicious English-style barley wine that was aged in wild turkey barrels. Delicious. There was one from Cambridge Brewing Company called Arbicus, and it was another big barley wine aged in oak. And that really was a theme in a lot of the big beers this year, was oak aging and, you know, basically stuff like that. The twist is some of them are aged in wine casks like Chardonnay and Pinot Noir, and then a bunch of them are aged in spirit casks like bourbon and scotch and stuff like that.
So we tried a bourbon barrel aged beer up at Boulevard that they had actually blended with the straight version of their Bully Porter. It was a Bully Porter aged in a bourbon barrel, and then they thought was the bourbon flavor was too strong, so they actually blended it with the straight Bully Porter. Do you know if any of these were blended, or were all these just straight out of the barrel?
I did talk to a few folks there, and a couple of these were blended. I don't know so much that they were blended from multiple batches or different styles. Like you say there, you know, one is aged in oak and one is not blended together. But they did talk about multiple batches that were aged in oak that were then blended together, but they weren't necessarily different. You know, they were like, they'd taste all the different oak batches they were doing and then pick out the best and blend those together. So that's the kind of blending stuff that I was seeing there.
So if you are we do want to integrate home brewing into the
right, right.
So if you are thinking about aging with wood, then there is an option if you do wind up with a beer that has too much of the bourbon or the wine or the whiskey or whatever flavors, too much wood, you can always do a blending and blend either a straight version of the beer that you're brewing or something as crazily different as La Folie and a mead.
Right, right. Yeah, and it's really, you know, that's the power and the fun of homebrewing is getting to do the crazy stuff and being able to kind of go with it. You know, if you have something that's a little too strong oak-wise, well, then you should consider yourself lucky and, you know, and use that in two or three batches, blend it in, and maybe, you know, be able to create two or three batches with that oak character that sometimes takes years for these people to put together.
Mm-hmm. Well, wonderful. Well, congratulations.
Well, it was awful fun.
And I appreciate your sharing your experiences with that. But the main reason that we're here this evening is to talk about something a little more mundane than wonderful, strong, oak-flavored beers aged in barrels and such.
We can get back to that, though, right?
We may digress.
Okay.
But we're here to talk about brewing software. And you are in software by trade, so you know a bit about the mechanics of that. But tell us about your experience with brewing software.
Well, you know, I've been in the business for a while, you know, about 15 years. And when I first started was back in the days when Windows was still Windows 3.1 or whatever. it was the first version of Windows or pretty much right after that. And I used a software package called Suds, and it worked pretty well. It was nice. You could punch in your recipes. It had some lists of different things like hops and malts and stuff with, you know, basically estimated IBUs, and the malts had, you know, how many points would be added to your gravity when you added it to your recipe and that sort of stuff. And it was very nice. I mean, it was really made for extract brewers, for engineering recipes and stuff like that. It had some all-grain functionality, and that was about it. And then in the last few years, I tend to pretty much use beertools.com for engineering recipes. And I especially use it for people that come into the store. I'll go ahead and pull it up on the computer. And if they say, well, I'm looking to make a porter, or I'm looking to make a stout, it's a nice software package because they can go home and use it. They don't have to buy it. They can just go log on and use it. And they can sit there and pick porter, and then they can start adding things to it, and it'll tell them whether they're getting closer or farther away from the style.
Mm.
And I really like that, and it helps new brewers a lot to kind of see where they're at and see what adding the different components does to their recipe, because a lot of them are really surprised to find out that adding just a quarter pound of this or that, like a black patent or something, will completely obliterate a recipe, you know, as far as the color or whatever. Or the hops, they tend to add hops, and they don't add enough, and it shows them that they're not hitting the bitterness targets for that style. So I really like that.
I'm laughing because you say a quarter pound of black patent will obliterate a recipe. I've been known to put a pound of black patent in a porter recipe.
Right, but it depends what you're trying to make. If you're shooting for some sort of brown ale and you drop a pound of black patent in it, you're going to have ink. You know, you're not going to have a brown ale. So you need to step lightly with some of those.
So if you're not familiar with the how to make a recipe, those guidelines, sticking with those guidelines, at least in the beginning, will give you some chart of action.
Right. It helps guide you. It helps make it easy. If the recipe, if in front of you is every different choice, well, it becomes overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
By picking a style, it eliminates some of the choices and lets you focus in on and producing something that's, you know, unique, but also within the style or close. And come out with a really nice product.
And I would imagine that if you wanted to get kind of freaky with the style and do something outside the boundaries, if you started with the recipe that was inside the style guidelines, you could add a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and go outside those boundaries. But you would have some place to start to have a base beer and to add those.
Right. And I've worked on some beer contests and. What you find is that people that deviate from the style, they deviate in just one or two small areas. So you really want to dial in your style, and then if you want to play with it, you know, add something to that. Twist it a little bit. Add a little fruit or add something else, maybe that's unexpected. But if you deviate in too many areas, then it just becomes a mishmash, and people drink it, and they say, well, what is this? Is it... It's kind of like a porter. It's kind of like a stout, or it's kind of Belgian. You know, it feels much better when you can have something you feel comfortable with, and you kind of have some expectation of what it's supposed to taste like. But then there's something unique about it as well.
Mm. And also on beertools.com, as I understand, there's also places where you can store your recipes and share your recipes and such as that too, right?
Yeah, that's true. Although I think you only get to store one or two recipes until you become a member.
Mm-hmm.
So you can sign up with just an email address. But then if you want an unlimited archive of recipes, you have to sign up and pay, I think, $10 a year or something.
And there is a standalone version of Beer Tools now. And I understand you haven't had experience with that, but some other people in our list of emails.
I look forward to hearing about that.
Have. And so that's your basic experience with brewing software. My experience with brewing software, I downloaded ProMash, the evaluation copy.
Right.
I played with that for a few batches, and it was a nice piece of software. And about that time, I was reading Ray Daniels' Designing Great Beers, and I started doing recipe formulation by hand, and I find that enjoyable, and I like just working the numbers myself. And there is a site, though, that I go to for certain calculations, and there's a website run by this group called the Knights of the Mashing Fork, and I need to email them to let them know that I'm plugging their site so they can... But they've got calculators on there like converting bricks to a specific gravity, and if you want to adjust your hydrometer readings for temperature, there's a calculator on there that can do that. There is a strike water temperature calculations, there's step mashing, there's a whole bunch of stuff that's in these other programs, but it's all in this one website, and it's kind of in different components, and you just kind of pick and choose the ones that you use, and that's generally what I wind up using, and then of course I use my basic brewing brewer's logbook to enter my...
I meant to say that.
So, which will be available again in December, for those who are asking. But let's go on in, because we've got a lot of email, and I want to get through these in the allotted time. But Craig from Abilene, Texas, we'll start with his. For your brewing software show, I'd like to hear a discussion on how you can use the different programs when batch sparging. I've been an extract and or partial mash brewer, but have been considering going all grain. In preparation, I've been toying with some of the trial versions of brewing software, ProMash and BeerSmith. BeerSmith supports batch sparging. However, ProMash does not, that I can tell. I've contacted the folks at ProMash regarding this, but have not received any response.
Mm.
This capability may influence my decision on which program to purchase, and I would like to hear from some of my fellow brewers who use ProMash and batch sparge. So if you use ProMash and you do know how to use the batch sparge function, let me know, and I can pass that information on to Craig. But, yeah. You know, that's...
Well, I don't know. ProMash is an incredible tool. I've downloaded the evaluation as well. It's a bit overwhelming to me. There are so many options and so much stuff. It really, the ProMash, it is pro. It's all the stuff the pros do. And we have a couple guys that use it, and they do really well. But to me, it's just a little too much.
And it could be that that functionality is hidden within the software.
Yeah, because there's an awful lot of options in there.
And there's also a way, if you're not up on buying commercial software, you can and you have some programming abilities, you can start yourself by doing an Excel spreadsheet. We got a letter from Jason in Springfield, Missouri, in response to your question on brew software. I use a spreadsheet that I developed myself. When I first started brewing not that long ago, I had no idea what all the different numbers meant except for the gravity. As I learned more, I began to develop a spreadsheet for formulating recipes and taking notes while I was brewing. Creating my own spreadsheet really helped me develop a good understanding of how the whole brewing process works, and I would recommend it over a prepackaged software. The advantage is I can add different features as I get more advanced, and it forces me to do the research to fully understand at a fundamental level what I'm doing instead of relying on the software. So here's someone who's really... you know, taking the gloves off, rolling up the sleeves, and really getting in there and learning the software. So if you're kind of a gearhead as far as computing is concerned and programming, you might just start from scratch. But Jason actually sent us his brewing spreadsheet, and we took a look at it, and it looks pretty cool.
Yeah, it is. I looked at it today, and I do this stuff for a living, and I was thinking maybe we ought to send this guy an email and see if he needs a job. There's sure it's just an Excel spreadsheet, but there's a lot of detail to what he put into this, and I agree completely with what he said, that doing the spreadsheet would make you very knowledgeable about all the calculations and how everything works together, and it's a really nice spreadsheet. I have to compliment him. He did a great job on it.
And Jason's given me the permission to put the spreadsheet on the website.
Wow.
So look in the description of this episode. And you can download that spreadsheet.
That'd be a good thing to have.
I don't know if he's protected it or not, but if he hasn't, you can play with it and make your own. Let's see, Matt, and I neglected to see where Matt was from. Sorry, Matt. I thought I would let you know how I use Google Calendar to manage my brewing. Google Calendar allows you to have multiple calendars displayed at one time. So what I did was to create a calendar for brewing. Each calendar in Google Calendar can be set to have a different color, making it easy to distinguish related events at a glance. I chose red to make my brewing schedule stand out. For anticipated events such as brewing, racking to secondary, and bottling, I create an event on the day I expect the activity to occur. Once the event has happened, I change the event name to reflect that it has happened, brewed, racked, bottled. The system allows me to prepare for brewing-related activities and serves as a record for what I've done for each brew. Each event has a notes section where I can enter the exact recipe that was involved and my observations that were made, such as gravity reading. So here's someone, Matt has taken something, Google Calendar,
right,
which has nothing to do with brewing,
right,
and has made his own kind of online brewer's logbook,
uh-huh,
with the application.
Right. I mean, it doesn't address the complications of the calculations going
right
into starting a batch of beer,
right,
but it is nice about the record keeping and keeping everything up to date and remind you when you need to do things.
And it's online so that if his computer crashes, it's backed up, still safe, and ready to go. Now, a few people wrote in about free applications. Mike from Allen, Texas, said you asked about software feedback, so here goes. I'm cheap, so I like free stuff. So out goes the pay software. I landed on Brewsta, Brewsta. Have you heard of Brewsta?
I haven't heard of that one.
This is an open source multi-OS, that's MS, Mac, Linux, Unix program. The advantages are exports to XML for easy posting of brews on blog or home pages, estimates pre-boil, post-boil, post-ferment gravities, and provides efficiency and ABV, AVW, apparent and real attenuation calculations simply by mouse-erring over the hydrometer observations entry, estimates color, estimates bittering units to gravity units, mashing tool that's ideal for batch spargers. So there you go. Brewsta. The downsides, it's written in Python, which is apparently a programming language. So data entry takes some getting used to. Accidental deletion of rows is possible, and learning to add rows can be a pain. The ingredients tab works very well, as does the list of ingredients to pull from, except the other ingredients pull list, which doesn't exist and can be created by users. Mash water loss isn't automatically calculated, although everything else is. And the color SRM estimator seems to estimate too light. And that's one thing that that seems to be things. It's a common point that people bring up. He says he's used the ProMash demo, Beer Tools Pro, and Beersmith, and none of them have the tools that I'd pay for over Brewsta. So there's a free.
Yeah. Did he say that was a Windows-based app or just basically Linux?
He said Linux. MS, which I would assume would be
Microsoft. Yeah, sure.
So, open source. So there you go.
Very cool.
And then Kim from Calgary, Alberta, Canada, says he uses QBrew. That's the letter Q, B-R-E-W. Pluses, it's free. Why spend money on brewing software? Spend it on ingredients and equipment. It's open source. Tech-savvy users can modify it and make it better. It runs on Mac, Linux, and Windows. New upgraded version to be out shortly. The author answers emails and listens to feature requests, exports to HTML, calculates IBUs, specific gravity and color, and there are other advantages. Users can add ingredients, good ingredient list. Negatives. How does one fault something that's free? And I can't think of anything it doesn't do well. Well, that's not a negative. Come on, Kim. Perhaps more features can be added and probably will be in the future. So, and he says the brewing software is really good for converting extract to all grain and vice versa. So, Q-Brew, so there's another free thing. So, and then from Corey, and again, I neglected to find out where Corey's from. I currently use ProMash. I'm sure you'll get lots of input on this program or probably own it yourself. I don't, but I tried the trial version. I like the inventory tool, the most of all features in ProMash. I've also used Q-Brew. It's good, but not quite as good as ProMash. So here you get somebody from the other side of the fence. And he wants to give good credit to an old program I used when I first started brewing in the mid-90s. I used a program called Suds.
Oh, there you go.
4.0. As did Andy. It was shareware and can still be easily found with a quick Google. It had a recipe calculator and a mash tool. But what I really liked about Suds was its excellent brew log tool. Every time you create a brew session, you create a log entry that stores your recipe. It has fields for original gravity, found gravity, and other key information. When you go back to the log to enter information or to pull up information, you just call up a single window. It would then have a scrolling list of all your sessions listed chronologically. Does that sound familiar?
Yep, I remember that, yeah.
So you might want to check that one out. Alexander from Montreal. As for brewing software, I've been using several and could probably give you material for the show, but I'm both lazy and busy.
Kind of like us.
You might do well to interview someone who's written such a program. I would nominate Drew Avis, because he's not only written the commercial version of Strange Brew, but has started a Java-based project with other people to make a fully open-source version of Strange Brew. So there you go. And I may put links to all these applications on the site. So then, I'm a Mac user. Andy wants to be a Mac user.
Yeah. I have lots of Apple products, just not any Macintosh computers. I have like 12 Windows computers, but no Macintosh.
You're just waiting for that time to jump into the stream. Nick from Southern California. I'm also a fellow Mac guy, and I found Homebrew Formulator, a fantastic free program. If I get some free time later, I'll try to write a complete review. So Homebrew Formulator from Nick. Also from Matthias up in Vancouver, British Columbia. I'm a Mac user and have used Homebrew Formulator, a freeware application for the past 2 years. It can be highly customized by the user, including modifying brewing environments, fermentable databases, brewing liquor, and so on. It also has a great mash calculator for hitting accurate temperatures. Sadly, this application is no longer being updated by the authors, but in my opinion, the current version is almost perfect for advanced brewers. He also uses the unit converter widget for Mac OS X. So that's a handy thing as well. So and then also Dave from Appleton, Wisconsin. You should check out Homebrew Formulator. It's as good as ProMash. Used that when I was on the dark side, you said. Mm-hmm. You know, the Mac users always got to get a little jab.
Yeah, what
in
is
there.
It with you guys? It's
well,
okay.
Well, when you get a Mac, you'll know. Yeah. It comes with the instructions. There's a hypodermic needle in the kit. It says
take the blue pill.
It says ProMash. Yeah, exactly. Make the choice. Pro Mash is great if you have a Windows machine. They both seem to be really good, give accurate results, and can be tuned to mimic your system. And it seems to me that that would be the hallmark of a good application, mm-hmm. is for you to be able to tailor it for your equipment and your system.
And homebrewers have such vastly different systems, you know, from the basic systems to these elaborate, you know, multiple tiers and pumps and everything else. Yeah, it would be nice if you could dial it into your system and then not have to reset that stuff up every single time.
Yeah, I mean, if you've got a false bottom as opposed to like a bazooka screen or a mesh filter of some sort. If you're doing batch sparging, if you're doing fly sparging.
Or a gravity-fed system versus a pump system.
Right, right. There's so many variables that it would be nice to have a brewing software that could be able to do that. Ted from up at in Massachusetts says, Beer Alchemy has a pitching calculator built in, and Ted says that has code derived from Jamil's pitching calculator from MrMalty.com. He said this is a really fantastic shareware program for the Macintosh. So that's the both a plug for Beer Alchemy and for Jamil's pitching calculator, which is pretty cool. I don't know if you've seen that. And then also Chris from Fairfield, Connecticut says, well, actually, I thought there was more stuff for Beer Alchemy.
There is. There's another email later, I think.
Okay, well, might have anyway, there's a couple for Beer Alchemy. Just started. Chris says from Fairfield, Connecticut, just started using software from Beer Tools. I've input recipes I've brewed previously and gotten some insight into the recipes. Many seem to fall close to the style guidelines, which are easily presented with a graphical representation of the accepted ranges of original gravity color, projected alcohol, and bitterness. I purchased the software for $29.95 and included gold membership for a year, which allows access to the recipe collection on the website, as well as a place to store my own recipes or recipes I've collected. Those recipes can then be shared if I choose. So I guess if you buy the standalone version of the software, you get some added benefits online.
Right. If you get the gold membership, if you pay for that, you can do their online calculator and store unlimited number of recipes online too. But with the standalone version, you can do it on your own PC. But, you know, one of the things that I'd like to point out is that stuff like that, if you've saved your recipes up there, when you stop by your local home brew shop, I don't know about everybody else's, but you can use the computer in my shop, pull up your recipes, look up the recipe you did 2 years ago or whatever, and print it out, and we can pull the ingredients for that. So it is a handy feature that you can save your recipes online.
That's a good point. Your recipes are portable. Wherever there's an internet connection, you can get access to your recipe database.
Yep.
On the other side of the coin, once you quit paying for
right. You better print those out. Keep them in a tuck them inside your brewer's logbook.
That's right. That's why the brewer's log, exactly. Andy, thank you. Let me buy you a beer. the brewer's logbook. You've always got. You can carry it with you to the homebrew store. And now we get into the Pro Mash letters. And Pro Mash is a popular program.
Yeah, lots and it of should people, be. It's a very, very nice program and very powerful.
It's well thought out and been around for a while.
Yeah.
Nate in Denver. A few software episode, I've been using Pro Mash. I still use a notebook, as I think it's easier than bringing the laptop into the kitchen when I have sticky malt boiling and flying madly about.
Sounds like fun.
I don't know. It sounds like a scary brewing experience with boiling malt flying about. I wonder what his evaporation rate is.
And what his kitchen looks like.
Just kidding you, Nate. Just kidding. He's in the Mile High City, so that may have something to do. He wants to get a vigorous boil because the temperatures. Well, never mind. I'm stretching. I love using Pro Mash for calculating a recipe and maintaining inventory. as a second inventory mention. On the downside, I don't think the color on the SRM chart is very accurate. It seems to have trouble getting a good representation of the reddish hues, or maybe it's just the calibration of my computer screen versus the calibration of the software guy's computer screen. Hmm. So, and that's, you know, that's one thing that I have yet to really figure out how to do using Ray Daniels' book.
Yeah,
is to figure out, you know, do a color prediction,
an accurate color prediction.
Huh. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I shoot from the hip most of the time, and you know, it seems to be pretty good, but I don't know, there is so much contrast and so much difference between the different grains, you mm-hmm. know, it is difficult.
And, you know, if you miss the color, unless you're shooting for a contest entry,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
if it tastes good,
right,
close your eyes.
And like we've said before, you know, taste it and decide where you want to enter it in the contest.
Well, there you go. Yeah. Yeah, maybe if you were shooting for something and you hit something else, maybe you'd win a medal in that other category. Alan from Ozark, Missouri. I use Pro Mash exclusively. When I started brewing, I was doing 2.5 to 3 gallon batches. I used Pro Mash to convert 5 gallon recipes that I found down to my batch size. So that's that's one reason that you would want brewing software,
is right.
to easily convert sizes of recipes. Since then, I've used most of the available options in Pro Mash, but I'm sure there are others who have more in-depth knowledge. I'm a very anal retentive brewer. I only brew with my laptop up and running. I also have a brew log to keep track of every item of detail. I know the exact amount of pre-boil and post-boil volumes, exact efficiency that I received, etc. Using Pro Mash helps me keep track of hydrometer readings and adjust for temperature, and I love how easy it is for recipe formulation. I only wish it could tell me what the beer was going to taste like before I brewed it.
Well, it's funny because those anal retentive people are some make the best brewers. They pay attention to the details.
Well, that's true. Well,
including cleanliness.
Maybe in the upgrade of Pro Mash, you can just lick the computer screen.
There you go.
And see what it tastes like. I've used a couple of other brewing software packages. After using Pro Mash, they seem sort of complicated. Well, that's interesting.
Hmm.
He thinks the others are more complicated than Pro Mash.
Wow.
So there you go. Well, thanks, Alan. And Rob from Memphis. This is a response to your question about brewing software. I've been using Pro Mash for about a year now. I like how simple it is.
Hmm.
Hmm, Andy. Hmm. These guys think it's simple.
They probably used it more than once. I just tried to play with it and was overwhelmed.
Had you been visiting the keg?
Well, most nights, yes.
Rob says, I'm not a pro brewer or have a degree in brewing science, so it seems easy enough for me to use. I also like the interface. For me, it's fairly intuitive and manageable. As for inventory updating, it's easy to do. I know that's a point where there hasn't been an up. I know that it's a point that there hasn't been an update for it in years, but it does everything that I need it to do.
Hmm.
So there you go. And the last two they get extra credit because they did. These are the best emails,
reviews.
The best reviews. Thank you of the software that I got. One. Being from, can you predict who it might be from? Of the brewers that you know,
I would expect it to be from maybe Mark Smith.
You are correct, sir.
And let me guess, it's about Pro Mash.
Part of it.
He's an excellent brewer.
Yes, he is, and he knows how to write a good email that compares brewing software. Mark Smith from Bella Vista, Arkansas, says, "Beer geeks unite." A computer belongs in the brew house.
And he has one in his garage right next to his brewing system.
He does. And if you watch the episode of Basic Brewing Video where we did the group brew. And the tour of his facility, you can see that. Mark says, I'm happy to share my experiences with two brewing programs, and I'm excited to hear other experiences with programs I'm unfamiliar with. So he's got an open mind, that Mark. I have extensive experience with Pro Mash and a fair amount with BeerTools.com. I use both programs for different reasons. I use BeerTool.com's recipe library to dial in a recipe for a beer style I've never brewed before. The downside to that is not all the recipes listed are good recipes.
Yeah, anybody can post a recipe.
That's what he says. Anyone can enter a recipe, whether they know how to brew or not. So use with caution. Look at several recipes and adjust accordingly based on what you know is correct for the style. After getting the basic recipe outline, I moved to ProMash to tweak the recipe and brew the beer. ProMash offers the following benefits. Mm. Benefit number one, organization. I'm a huge organization freak. Does that surprise you, Andy?
Not a bit.
We're just picking on Mark. I have drawers, cabinets, and hooks for all my equipment and ingredients, so keeping track of my brewing sessions and recipes is a necessity. ProMash allows me to keep track of all my brewing sessions and recipes. It allows me to make notes related to how the beer tastes, to notes on awards won.
He's won a bunch.
Notice how he kind of snuck that in there about the awards won. he has it, quite the stash of stuff, that Mark. Fermentation notes, etc. I would be lost without ProMash. So maybe he should be sending some awards up towards, you know, the ProMash guy.
Yeah.
Inventory. ProMash allows the entry of all brewing ingredients, so you can keep track of your ingredient inventory. After a brew session, you can finalize the inventory, and it will automatically subtract the used ingredients. Very cool, and something I use extensively to keep track of my brewing inventory. Up until recently, I didn't worry about brewing inventory because I bought as I needed it. But for the first time, I bought 50 pounds of two-row from you, along with like 5 pounds each of a bunch of other specialty grains.
We appreciate that, Jim.
I'm sure you do. And I just have been writing on the bags.
That's the way most people start out. You know?
Yeah, well, you know, I'm going to need some software. Customizable. Many of the settings can be adjusted to your desired level, i.e., the IBU settings can be tweaked according to your level of bitterness perception, which is cool. In other words, if after tasting a beer you brewed the IPAs seemed a little too high, you can adjust your IBU setting down to match your perceived level of bitterness. Again, very cool. So if you brew a beer that you expect to be 50 IBUs and you taste it and it tastes more like
30,
you how strange say, that you said that number. Huh? That was the number I was thinking of. We've been drinking out of the same keg.
I think so.
Then you can change. And then BJCP style guidelines. It says he says it has those in there. It automatically lists all the characteristics of each style. So when formulating a recipe, you can adjust your ingredients to fall in the range of each required category. Which, if you are entering category or entering contests, which is what Mark loves to do,
yes, he does.
You can use that to help you out.
And that's, you know, important. You know, if that's what your goal is, to try and hit styles, you know, dead on, this is going to help you do that.
Printable competition forms.
Oh, nice.
For each brew session and recipe. You can customize ProMash to print a competition form with the entire recipe and brew session information from mash temperature to fermentation temperature. This is a huge help for competitions requiring a recipe be filled out as part of the entry requirements. So there you go. And there are also additional tools. Boil-off calculator, dilution calculator, hydrometer calculator, etc. So he says, to wrap this up, as far as free services go, you can't beat beertools.com. But if you want more extensive customizable solutions, spend $25 and get ProMash. Mm-hmm. It'll satisfy the beer geek in all of us. So, you know, $25 didn't seem a lot.
Is that like a 12-pack of good beer, maybe, you know, a little more than that. So it's probably worth it in the long run. It's half of a 5-gallon batch of beer as far as ingredients if you know, were to buy an extract or something like that.
There you go. And the last one.
This is a big one.
Are you ready? This is from Thad in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. He uses three different systems, Pro Mash, Beer Smith, and Beer Tools Pro. His preference is in the order of listing. So he likes Pro Mash best, Beer Smith, and then Beer Tools Pro. He originally downloaded Pro Mash and Beer Smith, and then he compared those two, and he liked, it says, on the inaugural recipe in the system, I noticed the discrepancy in the calculated color for the brew. Beer Smith matched the target color of the recipe, but Pro Mash actually matched the beer. Well, I'm gonna get to the end of this because you did an excellent job, but I'm gonna get down to the nitty gritty here. Beer Smith, good documentation with decent descriptions of the features. Would like more dialogue for the new brewer. Nice interface, but somewhat cumbersome to get around in. Reasonable accuracy, but must have knowledge of the process to accurately enter info for target results. Decent online support. Overall, I find Beer Smith to be cluttered, as all information is on screen, but when you open specific tools, I've found they don't populate with node information and must be closed to get the recipe data. I found the software to be not very intuitive, so for someone not knowing what to expect. Beer Tools, little documentation but outstanding online support. Has too many features that affect results for the lack of documentation. Good interface and easy to maneuver around in. Overall, I found this software to be well laid out, but again, cumbersome, coupled with the fact that this is a new system under development and has nearly no documentation. I could not trust this system as I could not understand the impact of a number of the tools. ProMash, outstanding, intuitive, and well laid out. Provides the tools that are both embedded into recipes and brewing sessions that populate with known data automatically. Provides freestanding tools for trial and error methods of approach. Excellent documentation with a better focus on the inexperienced brewer. Online support is lacking in that it takes several days to get a response to forum posts. Overall, this is a system I trust. So there you go. From Thad in Oklahoma City, ProMash over Beer Tools and Beer Smith. So there you go. That's a lot of information to digest. Hopefully, like I say, I can put some links to the software and the software providers on the site so that you can go back, kind of compare and contrast what people have said. And this will give you at least somewhere to start so that when you download the trial versions of these software or the software that you can kind of know what to expect.
Yeah. This seemed like an overwhelming theme was that ProMash is very popular. And I would say, based on my experience with ProMash and what you've read so far, if you're a little overwhelmed at first with all the choices in ProMash, give it a little time. It sounds like you just need to try and use it and not just look at how many features it has. That was my problem, probably, is that it is very powerful. It has lots and lots of features. Try and use it. That's probably the answer. And you might find out that it's a lot really easy to use.
Actually use it during doing it. Yeah. Put these systems, and you might download several trial versions at once. Use them all simultaneously to do a brew session and see which one you like best.
Yep.
Well, very good. I appreciate everybody's input into this kind of marathon episode, but I think there's a lot of information that was shared, and I think that I may have to take a look at a second look at brewing software and go out there and find something that I feel comfortable with myself.
I agree.
Well, thanks, Andy. Thanks for your time and thanks for your beer and your space. And
you know, you're always welcome here, James.
Oh, you shouldn't say that. Well, thanks, Andy. We'll talk to you next time.
I appreciate Andy providing the venue and the refreshments for our conversation. And you can visit Andy's homebrew store at thehomebrewery.com. And Andy says to give a big hello to Ron and all the members of the Keg Ran Out Club that he met in Boulder while he was there. And we look forward to seeing them in Denver in June. And I'll try to put links to all the applications that we talked about. Well, next week, I'm not sure what I'll have to tell you the truth.
I do have an interview in the can with Dan Carey from New Glarus Brewing on brewing with oak. It's a good one. However, there's something else that I may try to work in there that's a little more timely before I run the conversation with Dan. So tune in next week. If you have brewing questions, show suggestions, or just want to say howdy, write to james@basicbrewing.com or just fill out the contact form on basicbrewing.com. And please don't forget to tell us where you're from. And while you're on our site, you can check out our online shop where you can find great pricing on our DVDs and a combo deal to save you even more. In our first DVD, Introduction to Extract Home Brewing, we walk you through the extract brewing process step by step from boiling to bottling. And in Basic Brewing, Stepping into All Grain, we take you through the all grain process from milling your grain to collecting your wort. You can see a listing of the fine folks across the country who sell our DVDs on basicbrewing.com. And if there isn't a vendor in your area, you can order it online from us, from me. I'll box it up myself. Thanks to everybody who's continued to click on the Amazon.com link. We appreciate the support there. Our featured products this week that were purchased through the link are Juggling for the Complete Klutz. That would be me. And the Bayou Classic SQ14 Single Burner Outdoor Patio Stove. Somebody's getting ready for some summertime brewing out there on the patio. Thanks again, everybody. And remember, I can't tell who bought what, so no worries there. Just click on the Amazon.com logo on our site next time you feel like Amazon shopping, and we get a little chunk of that. We appreciate your support. That's all until next week. Until then, thanks for listening. I'm James Spencer, production help for Basic Brewing Radio, and our website is provided by Kelly Dotson down in Austin, who also did our logo. Basic Brewing Radio is a production of Active Voicing. We'll talk to you next time. Even those in Oconomowoc. So long.